Yesterday, 20 years ago, America was attacked by terrorists. On a beautiful, sunny September morning, two airplanes deliberately flew into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center, causing them to collapse. A third plane flew into the Pentagon. And another airplane, Flight 93, disappeared from the radar. It later emerged that passengers on this flight fought back against their attackers, and they saved many lives by their actions. And we know that people on that plane, mobile phones weren't that common, but there were some mobile phones, and they were passed around, and people phoned their loved ones knowing they were about to die, and no one was angry with anyone. No one moaned about not putting out the garbage or having to do too much housework or forgotten anniversaries. Everyone just told the other person they loved them. The attacks were unusual in that they were witnessed by millions of people in real time. We saw the firefighters respond. We saw them make ready and then risk their lives going into a burning building. We saw the towers crash down around them and the wall of dust that flew along the streets following the collapse of the towers. We watched in horror as people held hands and jumped from burning towers to their deaths. That we witnessed the attack has made it emotional and very real. And the reality of these lost lives is reinforced every time we hear the names of those who died read aloud at memorial services. We hear their life stories, and 20 years on, we now hear how their deaths affected children not yet born on 9/11. In the wake of the attacks, President George Bush addressed the American people and promised revenge for the attacks. And this politician kept his promise. War was declared on terrorism, and America led its allies in the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. Mr. Bush promised to make America safe again, and he used the military might of the world's most powerful country in pursuit of security. And while there is a clear reality about what happened on 9/11, the aftermaths of the attacks are far less clear in our minds. We know that Saddam Hussein was quickly overthrown. The weapons of mass destruction reported to be held by Iraq, whose existence was used to justify the invasion, proved to be a rumor. We can only guess at the number of Iraqi civilians who died in those 20 years since 9/11. A guesstimate puts the number at about 250,000. The number of American soldiers who died in Iraq is in excess of 3,600. The number of injured and maimed is just numberless. Just a few days ago, all foreign soldiers left at Afghanistan. President Biden's stated reason for withdrawing troops is that during 20 years, more than 2,500 American soldiers have died there, and the cost of the Afghan war alone is $3 trillion. Before the evacuation was completed, the supposedly defeated Taliban took control of the entire country of Afghanistan. And they now patrol using American vehicles, wearing American uniforms, armed with American weapons. And there's no statistic for the number of Afghanis' deaths in that period. 17 terrorists committed the 9/11 attacks. At that time in 2001, it was estimated that Al-Qaeda had about 100 members. At the time, ISIS didn't even exist. And of course, the gut reaction to being hurt is to retaliate. But we have to ask if retaliation was wise. The Buddhist scripture, the Dhammapada, is more than 2,500 years in writing. And it says, never does hatred cease by hating in return. Only through love can hatred come to an end. Victory breeds hatred. The conquered dwell in sorrow and resentment. Let us overcome violence with gentleness. Let us overcome evil with good. Advice written 2,500 years ago. It's still as difficult as ever. It is still as true as ever. Those 17 young men that led the attacks in America were filled with hate. Their actions initiated a circle of retaliation that continues. Darkness can't dispel darkness. Only light can dispel darkness. Hating does not cease by hating. Only love can bring hatred to an end. The 9/11 attacks took the lives of almost 3,000 Americans. As a result of the actions that followed the attack, more than 6,000 American soldiers alone lost their lives. Hundreds of thousands of civilians have died. And that grim statistics doesn't include the physical and psychological injuries of those touched by these events. And very few people would say that the world is a safer place following it. Because 9/11 was followed by terrorist attacks in London, Madrid, Paris, Nice, New Zealand, Germany, others and others and others. Last week, the British Secret Service reported, I think it was Friday they reported, that they had prevented 6 other close attacks. The 9/11 attackers died in the planes, so the retaliation had to be directed at people who were innocent. The perpetrators were dead. But there are other stories about 9/11 and its aftermath, and these stories are far less familiar. One such story is the story of Balbir Singh Bodhi and Frank Rock. Balbir Singh Bodhi was a Sikh. He was a husband, a father, and a successful businessman. Frank Rock was a petty criminal. He was in the bar drinking on 15th of September following the 9/11. And Frank Rock said he was going out to shoot some towel heads, adding, and we should kill their children as well. He thought that Balbir Singh's turban meant that he was a Muslim, and he shot him. 20 minutes later down the road, he shot at a Lebanese American, and then he went on to shoot up a house where an Afghan family lived. And he's now in prison, serving a life sentence. How did Balbir's family deal with this? His niece is a lady called Valerie Kaur, K-A-U-R, and she's a lawyer and peace activist. Her motivation for her peace work came firstly because she wanted her country to be a safe place where her young son could grow up in. She's also motivated by a promise she made as a child to her Sikh grandfather. Valerie's first encounter with racism was when she was 6 years old, playing in the playground, and someone told her to go up, came up to her and told her to go back to her own country. She ran to her grandfather, who comforted her and made her promise that she would never fall into hatred, but to follow the Sikh tradition to be a warrior for peace. And Valerie has tried to keep that promise to her grandfather. Since 9/11, incidences of hate crimes have increased year on year. In her work as a peace activist, Valerie often records interviews with people she meets through her work. Shortly after the funeral of her uncle, Balbir Singh, she recorded his widow, who was called Joginder. Joginder's first words on tape were, "I want to thank the 3,000 people who came to my husband's funeral." Joginder felt the love those people who didn't know her or her husband, but who wanted to show their love in the only way they could. Every time Joginder hears accounts of deaths caused by hate, she tells anyone who will listen to her, "We have to love more." At one family gathering, they were talking about the fact that hate seems to be on the rise. And she said, "Who is it we haven't loved yet?" That was the question she posed to her family. And of course, straight away, the answer from them all was Frank Rock, the man who murdered her husband. On the 15th anniversary of Balbir Singh's death, the family telephoned Frank Rock in jail. Prisoners have very few choices or very few freedoms. Two of the choices they have is whether or not they will go and visit with someone who comes to visit them or speak to someone on the telephone. And when they telephoned Frank Rock, he could have declined the call, but he actually chose to speak to them. At first, he was quite defensive. He said, "Well, I'm sorry about what happened." Her uncle, the brother of Balbir, said, "Did I hear you say you're sorry?" And that seemed to change Frank. He said, "I'm sorry for what happened. When I meet your husband in heaven, I will hug him and ask his forgiveness." And that apology released all the fear, the last of the hurt and anger from the family. But it took them 15 years to come to that point. 15 years of constantly taking small, difficult steps on the road to love that brought them peace. Valerie Carr works as a lawyer, and she works on behalf of detainees in Guantanamo Bay. These prisoners are the forgotten, lameless, tortured victims caught in the fallout of 9/11. Every so often they appear as sort of specters on our TV screens, never standing alone, always with guards beside them. So we ask, what if America had taken the path of reconciliation rather than the path of revenge? Well, George Bush would not have been re-elected. He would have been accused of being soft on terrorism. But 6,000 American soldiers would be alive. Countless Iraqi and Afghanis would be alive. And we could go on with endless lists like that. So I come back to the words of the Dhammapada: never does hatred cease by hating in return. Only through love can hatred come to an end. We live with what is, not if the onlys and perhaps ifs. And we have to come back to the fact that we have work to do to create peace. We have to be examples of love in action in our world, in our community. We can't leave it to somebody else to make the world a better place. That's our responsibility. As Lao Tzu said, if there is to be peace in the world, it must begin with us. Amen.